We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, August 12th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford, and this is Jeff Schwartz's Smarter Than You. Guys, football is finally back. We're past the Hall of Fame game. By the time you listen to this, your favorite team might be playing the preseason. We have Hard Knocks already done episode one, down and dusted, and now we're getting you ready for the football season. This week's episode, we're focusing on the AFC and NFC East. We're going to go over previews, predictions, gambling, odds. We're going to have so much fun with this. And a little housekeeping. Moving forward, we're going back to 2 episodes a week like we had during the season. We'll go Tuesday and Thursday, and we're going to get you ready for the season. Matt Ford, how are you, buddy?
I'm awesome, Jeff. This is my favorite. These are my favorite shows of the year because it's the way to sort of like get myself acclimated a little bit. To talk about every team in the league, which is a rare thing. Like during the season, we forget about most of these teams because we just have to. This is my favorite thing. And we're starting with, you know, the division that we care about the most in the NFC East and truly one of the most interesting in the AFC East too. So I'm excited.
So here's how we're going to do this, guys. We're going to have $1,000 per division to spend. Okay. So that's $8,000 total over the, across the 8 divisions. And we're going to tack on an extra $2,000 to make it round up to $10,000. So we could throw that on. If we just love something, we could use an extra $2,000 on a prop. We're going to sort of try to agree on these, right? Sort of like the super contest during the season where we say, hey, look, you know, Matt says, I like this. I say, I like this. We say, I don't know if we like, you know, like we're going to go back and forth. We're going to figure out props we do like, and we'll get you ready for the season. It's that simple. And I am super excited for this. Like Matt said, it gets us kind of in the right mindset for the season. And we'll do this all the way up to the start of the season. We'll have all 8 divisions. And then the night before the opening game on September 9th, we'll put out an episode on the 8th, getting you ready for everything, right? Like Super Bowl, Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, MVP, kind of any final predictions if injuries have happened or trades have happened. Maybe Deshaun Watson goes somewhere, maybe Justin Fields or Trey Lance is starting now, right, Matt? And we change our idea on something. So we'll get you plenty covered as we move forward into the 2021 NFL season. And it was great to see the Hall of Fame game back with some fans. It was great to see Hard Knocks. And Matt, I'm ready to go with this NFC East here. Remember, $1,000 to spend here. Let's go the NFC East. Do you want to start with the favorite to win the division, or you want to start with your favorite team? Which one do you want to go with?
Let's go... Let's start with why don't we go in order of the win totals? So why don't we start with Dallas? They are projected their total, and we're using DraftKings, right? So we're going to say that all these lines are current there as of today, which is August 11th when we're recording this. So Dallas right now is projected for 9 wins. The over is juiced to minus 140. The under is plus 115. They're plus 130 to win the division. Definitely the prohibitive favorite in the eyes of the books. Jeff, why don't we start with you? What do you think of Dallas and their 9 wins?
So I am very high on Dallas this year, which could be a mistake because I was very high on them last year as well. My favorite stat, Matt, in almost all of football is that there has not been a repeat winner in the NFC East since 2004. We've talked a lot about this, right? So for Washington to repeat, they have to break a trend, which really, I mean, I don't even know if that is a viable trend. It just lets you know that there's a lot of competition every year in this division, right? And look, we've seen 3 Super Bowl winners out of this division in that time, right? The Giants twice and the Eagles. And so nonetheless, we have not had repeat winners in the NFC East. And the reason I like the Cowboys to go over their number, and this is with the slight hesitation with Dak's, lat injury, whatever, is they have the best quarterback in the division, hands down, right? Do you agree on that, Matt?
Yes. No.
Best quarterback. If their offensive line is healthy, which it appears it is, they have the second best offensive line, maybe the first offensive line in the division. They have the best skill position players in the division. Now, defensively is where they have to get a little bit better. And maybe I'm intoxicated after Hard Knocks, but Micah Parsons seems like legit. he's really good. And the thing about defense is we saw them improve at the back half of last year. But typically there's more variance year to year in defense and offense, right? If you're a top offense, you stay good throughout your time with that quarterback and coordinator. But we know this, Matt. Defense, 1 year you're 1 year you're 15, the next year you're back up to 8. And the bottom is true as well, where you can be 32 1 year, and the next year you're 16. Just kind of it goes, you add pieces there, you change your D coordinator. So if they're just average on defense, Matt, 15th on defense, 16th on defense, they'll have a top 5 offense if they're healthy. And so I think over 9 wins is the play I would make here. I put a little bit of money on this, but I actually like a couple other bets around the Cowboys better than their win total.
Interesting. Well, I'm curious to hear those. It pains me to say it, Jeff, but I, as a Washington fan, but I'm with you. I like Dallas's over. I also think if you like Dallas's over, now's the time before the Hard Knocks boost, which is inevitable, and their number will inevitably go up. I'll say this about Dallas, in addition to co-signing pretty much everything you said there. Last year, Dallas was one of the unhealthiest teams in the league. They were the 28th, according to Sharp Football. Their defense, you mentioned already, should improve quite a bit. By losing Mike Nolan, it kind of doesn't matter who they've gained, but they got Dan Quinn, who has a good track record despite his stint in Atlanta as head coach. You mentioned Parsons. I think there's one other thing when it comes to betting Dallas. Dallas, in the last 2 decades, has exceeded their win totals fewer than any team in the league other than the Jaguars. So I think that people are just a little bit tired of getting burned by Dallas every year, because the expectations are generally a little bit higher than they should be. But now it feels like it's kind of in the other direction. It's not like Dak Prescott is coming back from an unprecedented injury.
Yeah,
he should be able to recover and play well. And obviously, this, to spoiler alert my rest of my NFC East division preview a bit, they play Philly and the Giants twice. Like, that should be 3 wins easily right there. And they play the NFC South, who, like, what are the Falcons? What are the Saints? What are the Panthers? They should be a team that can outscore almost any team in the league. So I agree. I think they're good for double-digit wins, and I'm comfortable laying some money on this over.
Yeah, so, and they also don't have a first place schedule, right? Because they were bad in the division last year. So, look, they have the Chiefs will be a tough out. The Saints could be a tough out. But their schedule is not that bad. Look, the first 2 weeks of the year are pretty tough, right? At Tampa Bay, at San Diego, at Los Angeles. This is a situation, by the way, where you might get a better number for a lot of these odds after week 2, right? You might get a better number for their win total. You might get a better number for winning the division, which I think that's where the money's at here, right? The division's plus 130 right now. If we assume they're going to get over that 9 win total, they're going to win the division most likely, right, Matt? And do you want to lay the 140, or do you want to take plus 130 on the Cowboys to win the division?
I think that's a good way to play that. I plus 130 for a future that ties up some of your bankroll for the whole season feels like maybe not my favorite kind of play. So I don't know, but I think that would be the way to play that.
But if we're betting on the Cowboys here, would you rather bet on the win total and lay minus 140? Or would you rather take the playoffs at plus 130 when the outcome, if they win 10, do you expect them to win 10 games and not win the division?
No, I think that's smart. I think that would be the way to play this if we want to play Dallas over. That makes
so
sense.
How much, I'm thinking it's, you know, if we bet 250 on this out of the 1,000 for the division, we'll win 325. I mean, it feels like that's maybe the way to go here.
Yeah, let's mark that for now. I'm with you there.
Okay, let's, and there's other Cowboys. Do you want to get to my favorite prop, or do you want to wait till the end for player props?
Well, I think it's, we've talked about this before, and frankly, like, this is going to be the most important thing we say on this show, so why don't you get it out of the way now?
The Dak Prescott Comeback Player of the Year Award?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, this feels too easy, and I feel like I'm missing something here. It's plus 210. This is the most, in my personal life, this is the most money I've wagered on any bet heading into any season. Matt, I don't know how this loses unless he gets hurt again, right? So you're basically betting against a quarterback getting hurt 2 years in a row, which is very uncommon for a franchise quarterback. If he has his average season, right, an average season for him, he is winning Comeback Player of the Year going away. It's not even close. He plays on America's team, first of all, right? He is very liked around the NFL. And if you watch Hard Knocks in episode one, it's very clear why he's liked. His last healthy season, right? Completed 65% of passes, 4,900 yards, 30 touchdowns. Even last year, in just 5 games, he had almost 2,000 yards and 9 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Like, he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year if he's healthy. And to me, we use this extra bankroll that we have, the $2,000, and we use some of that on, or we could use the division money on this, but this has to be wagered on.
I agree. These odds, by the way, from the other markets I've looked at, the DraftKings odds we're getting are plus, you said, a 210.
That's pretty good. I didn't get plus 210. Yeah,
I didn't plus either. 210. I've put some money on this too, and I think that at that number, it's a no-brainer. Let's figure out the exact number at the end of this. But yeah, I'm in. Obviously,
I the limit on my offshore was $25 for this bet. That's how, and I've bet it multiple times so I can get like that. Like that's how much I think they believe this could possibly hit. Right, the exposure there is pretty high on this. I mean, the other option, of course, is Joe Burrow, but he's going to have to outplay Dak Prescott, which I don't see happening.
Also, comeback implies returning to form. Like, we've never seen Joe Burrow at the level that would, you know, allow for us to say he had a comeback. The one to me that I feel like could really jump in is Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is a future Hall of Famer if everything goes according to, right, you know, the trajectory he's on. If he comes out and has like a Eric Dickerson, you know, Derrick Henry type season after an injury and Dak is just like, okay, I could see McCaffrey running away with it. Same, I guess, with Barkley, but, you know, the odds are a little bit smaller there, I think, because he hasn't had the track record McCaffrey has. But I'm with you here. This one made us say this a little bit earlier because I think this is an important one for people to get while they have some time and before Hard Knocks takes off. So
I'm in agreement with you there. All right, you want to go to your Washington football team here. Win total is 8.5.
8.5, split evenly, minus 110 for the over and the under, plus 230 to win the division, plus odds to make the playoffs here, plus 135, yes, to make the playoffs, no, minus 175, which I find kind of interesting given that their number is exactly at 500. Where are you here?
Yeah, this is kind of a stay away team for me because I don't quite know what I'm getting at the quarterback. I know Fitzmagic is a lot of fun. I know over the years that he's been great in kind of these relief roles, Matt, but he's the starting quarterback now. Like, it's not a relief role. And in his career, when he's been counted on to kind of be the guy, just really hasn't been the guy very often. And I think they've done a great job of building this roster up. Their defense is fabulous. Their defensive line is best in the NFL. They have all the pieces in place, but it's hard for me to wager on a team that I just don't trust their quarterback.
I think I agree. I'm leaning over here. I mean, I'm obviously biased, but I think with the Fitzpatrick point, the counter to that would be, last year they started Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, Alex Smith on one leg, and Taylor Heinicke. And this year, if Fitzpatrick is even, you know, it's the same argument you made with the Dallas defense. If he's even adequate, they're a real threat. You know, you look at the rest of the roster and suddenly, like, they've got a pretty interesting backfield. They've got a pretty good offensive line. They have a really good receiving core, and their defense, I love this about them, that they sort of didn't rest on their laurels on defense. They went out and signed arguably the top corner in free agency who was actually available in William Jackson. They drafted a middle linebacker in the first round when everyone's sort of thinking, oh, did they maybe reach for a Mac Jones if they didn't like him, whatever. They really attacked their team. And the other argument for them is they have by far the best coach in this division. You look at, we've talked a lot on this show about Washington's vaccination rate. That's a reason maybe to take the under. But the thing that I've really noticed is Ron Rivera made it a priority coming into camp to get more players vaccinated. They were at like 50% in July, and now they're at like 86%, which is somehow one of the worst in the league. But I think it's because Ron Rivera made a case that actually convinced a lot of people, which if we've watched anything happen in this country in the last couple of years, like that's kind of amazing. To convince that many people who, you know, on this issue where people have made up their minds. So that's a long way of saying, I think Ron Rivera is a special coach and a special leader. This team is loaded at everywhere but quarterback, which is a little bit of a mystery. So I think it's a stay away too, but if I had to make a wager, it would slightly be the over.
I think there's a better wager to make if we're going to wager on the Washington football team. Antonio Gibson, who I really like coming out of Memphis, he did some great stuff there. His total yards this year, rushing plus receiving yards, is 1,300.5. That's not a lot of yards for him. Last year, his scrimmage yards, he had over 1,000 scrimmage yards in just 14 games, and he only started 10. He only carried the ball 170 times, and he got 36 receiving catches out of 44 targets. If you look at where that would put him last season, on this list, if you take out like Cordell Patterson, who's a returner, I mean, 1,300 yards. There's 20 guys over 1,300 yards. Josh Jacobs was over 1,300 yards for the Raiders, and he only had 238 receiving yards. Zeke Elliott, in his short time, really in that kind of bum offense, over 1,300 yards. Tony Pollard for the Cowboys had over 1,300 yards. I think this is where we put money. It's minus 115. Is it too much to put 250 on this?
Wow. Interesting.
Or 100?
Jeff.
You want to put 100 on it?
Yeah, let's do 100. I think, or to win 100, maybe 115. I think
115. Yeah.
Last year, Gibson averaged almost 5 yards a carry. Washington last year dumped the ball off to their running backs quite a bit in the offense. They are going to continue to do that, even though Alex Smith is gone. But remember, Gibson was a college wide receiver who converted to running back without training camp, essentially. And people, like, I've been doing a lot of prep for my fantasy drafts. People are really, I think, underestimating his potential here because of, like, J.D. McKissick in the backfield. But all that Scott Turner has ever said is, like, we think this guy is Christian McCaffrey. And look what he did with him in Carolina. So I am way in on Antonio Gibson this year. So I'm in favor of this.
All right, so let's do 115 to win 100 on over the 1,300 yards here. Anything else that catches your? I mean, the other one that I think is kind of juicy is Chase Young to lead the league in sacks is plus 1,800. That's rich, but maybe we could sprinkle some money on that, or even defensive player of the year plus 850.
That's an interesting one. I think they're, you know, for him to win defensive player of the year, they have to have a pretty damn good season.
That's my.
The sack lead is interesting. I think it's funny. I kind of think Montez Sweat plus 2,500 to lead the league in sacks might be the better play, because I think that, like, you watched last year, you know, Chase Young got all the attention and Montez Sweat would just, like, walk up to the quarterback and he'd have a free shot at him. That'd be a flyer for $5 maybe on the side. But I'm good with Gibson.
So we'll mark this down as maybe a Sweat sack leader. As a question mark here. I'll put this on here. If we have to spend some more money. Are we going to roll over money too? Like, if we don't spend all our money, can we roll over to...
Oh, totally. Okay. Okay, so I think we're going to find some more places to sprinkle here, though.
We've spent just a little bit under $350, a little over $350 so far of our 1,000 allotted to this division. So, all right, well, you want to move? Are we done with the Washington football team?
I think so. We can, let's keep moving. And if we want to add, wow, sorry, I just dropped everything. If we want to add to that later, we can. We've got some that we like here. Let's move next to the next team in order is the New York Giants, your former team. 7 wins is their projection. They're over. They're getting more money on the over at minus 130. The under's plus 110, plus 450 to win the division, plus 225 to make the playoffs, minus 300 to miss. I have a pretty strong feeling here, Jeff. I'm curious if you do.
What you go first, because I'm looking up one thing here. You can go first.
I'm happy to. This to me is a slam dunk under. Last season, I've been saying this on this show since last year. I feel like they are still getting credit for beating the Seahawks and not getting blown out by the Bucks last year. The Giants are a victim of their own success. This is a audio product, so you can't see my air quotes, but it seems like last year the Giants were very happy to go 6-10 without Barkley and be competitive in a bunch of games. They're not good. And not only are they not good, they're relying on some repeat performances from guys who just haven't strung together a lot of success. Like people like Blake Martinez and Leonard Williams have a huge role in this team having some success this year. And it's like, are we sure we want to bet on that? But in addition to those points, Kenny Galladay's already hurt. Kadarius Toney didn't show up to OTAs and is like had a weird sort of saga joining this team to begin with. This team's fighting itself in minicamp. Saquon Barkley's a little bit doubtful to start the season. And the Joe Judge sort of like, I don't know, he came in and wasn't like a total disaster, even though everyone thought he might be. Like, I think we're just putting a lot of credit on a team that was quite bad last year and gets a lot of credit for beating, you know, Kyle Allen and Dwayne Haskins and the Seahawks. So I am very comfortable going under here. They seem like an easy double-digit loss team to me, and I'm not scared of Daniel Jones proving me wrong. Do you agree?
So I'm with you here. I obviously got in a couple spats with Giants fans over the weekend about the Joe Judge thing. You know, he made the players run sprints and push-ups after a fight, which is it's pretty juvenile in the NFL to do that, right?
Like that's crazy.
Not, and what there's a point distinction here is that there's a difference between the mentality that fans think means you're a tough coach, old school coach, and what in reality is an old school coach. For example, Andy Reid is an old school coach, Matt. Andy Reid hits a lot in practice, a lot in practice. He has live tackling periods in practice. He doesn't give vet days off in entire training camp. Like, he's old school coach. And when he says, hey, guys, don't fight, no one fights. And if they do fight, he just throws them out of practice. Or he just says, guys, don't do it again. Knock it off, right? But you have a Giants team whose quarterback was in the fight. How does he not understand that already? There was a, you know, there was a preview of, not really a preview of Hard Knocks, but they showed the joint practices, right, where the Rams and Cowboys. And they had a fight. And guess what? Did the quarterback go in the fight? Of course not. Because he's not stupid enough to do that. Like, I don't, and so I'm so curious about the obsession Giants fans have with Judge, who, look, he might be the greatest coach of all time. But to your point, Matt, they won 6 games last year. They beat one team with a winning record. That was Seattle. They beat Washington, Philly, and the Bengals. Like, congratulations on those wins. Their offensive line right now is a wreck outside of maybe Andrew Thomas. And, like, it's just, it's a problem. And every day we see tweets about how their offensive line is struggling in practice. Do you trust Daniel Jones to do anything much this year? I really don't. He's shown really no ability to be anything more than he is. And Jason Garrett as well. I don't really trust his offense. So I'm good with the under here. What's your what are you willing to wager on this?
I feel like whatever our standard is, if we're going 250, I'm very happy to do that. I think that the Giants are one of the worst teams in the league at quarterback. You mentioned offensive line. I don't think they have an advantage at head coach. Sorry, Giants fans. Receiver is already a question mark. I just don't see how they you know, how they contend for the playoffs. I'm willing to be wrong, but I'm willing to put some money down here.
A little bit of under juice here, plus 110 to the under. So 250 to win 275. Can I interest you in going back to a staple of ours, Saquon Barkley under 1,175 rushing yards?
Lock. Done. 1,000%. There's no world where I would say
that's that's the best number I think I could find. If you find a different number, go ahead. So what would you like to... So now we have... you see how much money we have left to wager in this division. It's plus 250. So we have a little under $400 left in this division.
Well, do you want to say...
Well, okay. Let's do the Eagles and come back to Saquon. I want to bet Saquon, but let's see what we can get out of the Eagles first. Because this is a we all agree on this wager, me and you do. But let's get the Eagles first. Win total is at 6.5.
Yep, it's more favorable to bet the under here. Plus 110 for the under, minus 130 for the over. Plus 550 to win the division. Heavily favored to miss the playoffs. The no for making the playoffs, minus 350. The yes, plus 275. Steep numbers, but I think justified. Jeff, what do you think about the Eagles this year?
So, I mean, I would love to take no playoffs minus 350. I know it kind of ruins our bankroll a little bit to do that, but they're not making the playoffs this year, guys. You know, Nick Sirianni feels like he was hired to kind of be the guy the front office can just bang on, right? Like they kind of run, you know, they can run things through him. Jalen Hurts, I don't know. Okay, I guess. But skill position questions, right? Defensive back questions. Good defensive line, good offensive line. That'll give him a chance. But, you know, under, so we go Giants under and Eagles under. I mean, that's why I think that the no in the playoffs, but I'm willing to go under here if we have to spend some more money in this division. It's plus 110.
It looks like, I don't think the Eagles will be favored in a game. The look ahead lines indicate they wouldn't be favored in a game until week 15. They have a really strange schedule where they have a bye in week 14. And then they wrap with four divisional games. I could see the Eagles season going something like this. They come out, you know, they play Atlanta in the first week. I could see them beating Atlanta because it's Atlanta. And everyone's like, oh, Nick Sirianni, like, watch out for this Eagles team. Everyone counted them out. And then them having a Jacksonville-esque season, not where they go 1-16, but where they underperform. The last 2 years, they were in the bottom 15. Last year, they were in the bottom three of least healthy teams. At some point, that's not luck. That's roster construction and a habit. But... you know, they're counting on a total wild card at quarterback. They're weirdly old in some spots where you should be young, and young in spots where you should be maybe a little more experienced. I could see this team blowing it up at the trade deadline, you know, and selling some of these guys for parts like Fletcher Cox and getting some picks for him. They still have a Zach Ertz trade to make probably. Like, I could see this team packing it up kind of early and those division games at the end of the year being kind of a cakewalk. So I think this is a pretty safe under bet, but the Giants I think a little more strongly about just because the number is a little bit higher.
So we have 385 left. Do you want to go, how much do you want to put on Saquon under rushing yards and Eagles under win total?
Why don't we do Saquon for more and Eagles for less? So like 275 and 110 or something.
Okay, so let's go Eagles under 7. Under 6.5, right? Under 6.5. Let's do 100 there to win 110, because I want to put a lot on Barkley. Plus, we got to throw a couple nickels on this Montez Sweat bet. I got to save a little bit of money for that, right? We want to do Montez Sweat? Is that what we're going with?
I'd rather hammer the Barkley thing, wouldn't you?
Oh, fine with me. Okay, 285 on, we'll go 285 on Barkley. I think it was minus 112 is what I think I saw. So we'll do minus 112. So it's 285 to win 254. That's whatever. That's cool. Fine with me. I don't mind. I don't really mind a little bit of dude, this bet, we cashed big on this last year. The last 2 years, right? We cashed big on this?
Yeah, this is a staple.
Okay. So we have our wagers. We've spent $1,000.
Yep.
And the only one we haven't done is the Dak Prescott Comeback Player of the Year. Do you want to save that one for like the end of the season preview? We have some leftover money, or do you want to put some money in it now?
let's assume that we're going to put something on it now.
What do you want of the leftover $1,500? Is that too much?
Let's do $250 for now. We can always add.
Okay, so $250. Okay, so we got $250 on this one. So we've dipped into our reserve here to hit the Dak Prescott, because I think that's I'm with you, man. Like, this is my favorite bet of the year.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I'm not very good with math, so you got to give me a second. So that's to win $625.
Yeah, I think something like that.
I found it all. It's calculator. I have to use my brain. Okay.
We're doing a lot of math here. I'm going to quickly reset before we move to the AFC East. So we've got six bets that are in.
Yes.
We've got Dallas over their 9 wins at -140. We've got the Giants under 7.
I thought we did Dallas division.
Dallas division. That's correct. Dallas division. My mistake. Dallas division. And that is plus what? 130.
It's 250 to win 325.
Cool. We've got the Giants under 7. We've got Antonio Gibson over a collective 1,300 yards. We've got Saquon under 1,175, just rushing. We've got the Eagles under 6.5. And we've got Dak to win the comeback player of the year. And we went pretty big on that one for a player prop.
Boom. And there it is. Wireless on the most reliable network nationwide.
That's cool. But with my wireless, I get unlimited for just $30.
Impressive. But does yours have 5G included?
Of course. And my wireless saves me $400 a year.
That's because you all have Xfinity Mobile with your internet. It's wireless so good, it keeps one-upping itself.
$30 per line per month, taxes and fees extra, compares pricing of top carriers. Xfinity internet required. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabits of usage per line. Most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report. Results vary. Not an endorsement.
Good to move to the AFC East from here.
Yeah, let's do it. I love these episodes, man. These are
me
great.
Too. They're the best. This is a very interesting division. The favorite, obviously, is Buffalo. Their number is at 11, which I found to be a little bit surprising. This is one of the public's favorite teams. It's evenly juiced for the over and the under. They're -150 to win the division, -350 to make the playoffs, +275 to miss. Jeff, what do you think?
This is pretty interesting. You can make the argument that we just saw Josh Allen's best season, right? Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, we disagree on him a little bit, but go ahead and make your case.
I'm saying, like, is that possibility that's the best we've seen for Josh Allen, right?
I mean, why? He's 25. He went to Wyoming.
I'm not saying he goes backwards. I'm just saying, like, what we saw last year was the best we get from him. That's his ceiling.
I mean, I would say probably not, but if that is his ceiling, he threw for almost 40 touchdowns. Like, he was an awesome player.
Yeah,
like,
because it's worth discussing about this, right? Because if we think that he's going to be what he was last year, and no better or really no worse, then I don't know how you don't go over this, right? You look at their roster construction, you look at their draft with fixing some of the defensive line issues, and you look at their schedule, right? They get Pittsburgh week 1. I don't really trust Pittsburgh, right? They have the Dolphins, Washington football team, the Texans. I mean, they'll be favored the first 4 games pretty heavily. Then Chiefs, they'll be favored at the Titans most likely, Dolphins again, then Jaguars and Jets and Colts and Saints. Like, their schedule,
it's quite sets good. Up,
like, who? Okay, so the way I like to look at schedules is quarterbacks are playing, okay? So, Big Ben, they have Tua twice. That's 3, right? They have Fitzpatrick. They have whoever's playing for the Texans. Pat Mahomes and then Ryan Tannehill. So, 2 good quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
And then what? Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Wentz.
Maybe.
Winston, Newton.
Maybe.
Tom
Maybe.
Brady.
Yep. Darnold. Okay.
Yep. All right. So three quarterbacks you would consider to be any sort of big considerate issue for them. So I think the play here is over. I don't know if we put 250 on it, but I think over is the play at -110. The one concern I have, I will say this, is the COVID concern. I know you hate talking about COVID. We have to do it though, Matt. Is if the quarterback's not vaccinated, that worries me, right? If he has to miss a week or quarantine for 5 days or miss 2 weeks, that's the concern here. That's why this number, I think, should maybe be like $100 on this. But I'm on the Bills over here.
I think I really am having a hard time handicapping this team because this number felt a little bit strangely low to me, which makes me think that Vegas has a read here. I'll say this. Last year, they were the number one ranked team in weighted DVOA at the end of the season, which I was really surprised by. Since Sean McDermott's been there, they're covering almost 60% of the time, which means they have, you know, obviously for gambling, that's good, but they have a really good coaching staff when you're covering that much. The thing that kind of concerns me, last year they were 5-1 in one score games. That's always likely to regress. They have this easier schedule you mentioned. They're favored in every game as of now, except at KC and at Tampa, which is, you know, that's pretty justified. But my concern is actually a point that you've made to me before, which is that there's these teams who get close. The one that comes to mind that you've mentioned a lot is Jacksonville from a few years ago, where they got to the AFC Championship game, probably should have beaten Pittsburgh, I think it was. And then they sort of self-scout and they're like, cool, we're good. We're almost there. Like, let's not change a whole lot. Buffalo doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, but they also didn't really get any better this season. They still don't really have an answer in the backfield. Singletary and Moss is not scaring anybody. You know, tight end beyond Dawson Knox, which isn't, you know, that's not Travis Kelce. Stephon Diggs was fantastic last year. He's the one who I think probably hit his ceiling. And I love Stephon Diggs as a fellow Maryland grad. I'm not sure he can duplicate that effort. He's only had a season like that once. What if he misses three games? What happens to that offense? What if Josh Allen misses, you know, he strains his hamstring and misses a game? I also think New England's going to be a lot better. Miami's going to be a tough team. I could see this one kind of going south for them, but still being a good team. But I don't think that we should just pencil them in as just as good as last year just because the team is the same, because usually that's not how this works in the NFL.
Matt, I get what you're saying about them kind of coming out of nowhere, but I feel like this has been building now for a couple of years, though, and that's the difference. You know, they've been building this up over time. I think, again, it's okay to say, hey, look, last year everything kind of went well for them. Can they do this again? The pressure's on them. Everyone expects this. But I look at the rest of the division, and this is why I'm kind of on Buffalo Bills over. I don't really like a lot of this division. Like, there's not a lot I like. And so if we're going to wager in this division, I want to wager on a good coaching staff, an explosive offense, a defense that is, you know, kind of had their ups and downs last year but tried to add to the pass rush. So, Matt, I'm pretty curious about how you feel about the Bills to win the conference. About plus 500 here. I think they're the best option outside of Kansas City to do this. Just because, I believe it or not, I guess Josh Allen more than Baker Mayfield a little bit, which is shocking for me to say out of all people. But where do you stand with any wagers with Buffalo?
I really like Buffalo a lot. Like, I think they're a really good team. I'm willing to be wrong on my slight under prediction. I do think that's a fun one for plus 500 for the conference. They're certainly in the mix. I'm open to that, but I don't feel strongly about it just yet.
All right. Well, I'm just going to put Buffalo on my list here as far as, I mean, they're over just feels, we'll just put it up here on the list over 11 and we'll kind of just marinate on it as we go through the rest, because we got to see what the rest of the division holds out. Cause I think there's some other teams that can make this over more tenable. All right, let's go to the Dolphins next.
Let's do that. The Dolphins, where are the Miami Dolphins?
10.5 wins.
10.5 wins. Their over is juiced slightly to plus 105. Under, people seem to like that, going minus 125. If you do like them to go 11 more wins, division champs, plus 350. Plus 110 to make the playoffs, minus 140 to miss. This team is a really hard one for me to wrap my head around, Jeff. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of last couple of days, too, of this hyping up Tua stuff lately. Like, oh, he wasn't that bad last year. He wasn't that. All right. I could buy that, right, in year two. But offensive line, still a concern, right? Still a big concern.
Big.
Is Tua going to move the ball downfield? Defensive regression, right? We saw last year they scored a lot of points, Matt, on special teams and defense.
They did.
And this is a big number, 10.5. Like, this is higher than a lot of teams with quarterbacks who we say. This feels like a very generous number. And look, 10.5 to win the division plus 350. Like, they don't even expect them to win 10.5 games. That's why I know the under's juiced a little bit, but it feels like an underplay to me, Matt.
I think I agree. Look, this one's confusing because I agree. Their defense probably takes a step back. I do think Tua will take a step forward, but only because he was quite bad last year. Coming off an injury, obviously the no training camp. He was doing that weird, you know, reliever starter thing with Fitzpatrick. But they're just like a strangely composed team with, I think, a good coach. Like, they're great in the secondary. They have two really good corners. But they have two offensive coordinators. They have this weird offensive line where, like, maybe they moved kind of laterally, but they did lose two starters from last year. You know, they add Will Fuller, but it's like, is there a bigger question mark in the whole league than Will Fuller? Like, he's usually good for three or four games a year and then is hurt and then is kind of missing. Jalen Waddle to me felt like the riskiest of those top receivers at the top of the draft with, you know, some interesting upside. So they have this really fast and really dynamic deep receiving core. But last year Tua was 21st in the league in yards per pass, was almost 2.5 yards per attempt less on third down than the league average. That's kind of complicated stat, but what I'm saying is he threw the ball short. So having a deep, you know, a bunch of deep threats doesn't totally make sense with his skill set. So I just am too confused by this team. I guess should indicate that we should go under. So I'm open to that. And I think that this might be the public team and not Buffalo.
So you're good. Do you feel more comfortable with the under here or the over with the Bills?
I feel more comfortable with the under in Miami.
I'm with you here. So under 10.5. That's a guy to eat a little bit of juice here, -125. Put 250 on this.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Because we're split on Buffalo. I would lean under there.
Any props you see with that with any of these two teams you like? I know we're not the biggest in the prop field, but anything catch your mind here?
Huh. Interesting on Myles Gaskin over 5.5 rushing touchdowns. I feel like he's probably gonna be their featured guy this year. That's one I would potentially buy in on for a little bit. What do you think of that one?
I'm curious to see what the rest of the, let's see what we got in the running back. So it's got, we got Myles Gaskins. Oh yeah. That's interesting. That's a low number.
It is a
low number. Malcolm Brown is there.
Salvin Ahmed was good last year in spots.
This is his second. I mean, he had only one touchdown last year. No, sorry. Three last year. I kind of like that, right? Over plus 100. Okay. How much you want to do on that?
Maybe 100. You want to throw 100 down on
that? Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Let's do that.
I'm going to love... These are going to be so fun to track this year.
They really are. Gaskin, I mean, the buzz I've heard is that everyone likes Gaskin on that team. You know, he was not a high... I think he was a 7th-round pick last year. So he was a little bit of a surprise. But the fact that they didn't go and grab somebody in the offseason, I think indicates that they do
he
like
had,
him.
He had... At Washington, he was the first guy in school history to rush for 1,000 yards four straight seasons. Like he can rush the ball.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. So we got some Dolphins wagers in. Let's get to the New England Patriots now.
Why don't you go first here? Because I have a pretty strong opinion.
Win total is 9.5, over plus 110, under minus 130. The problem with having a take on them is I just – don't know what we're getting from Cam Newton, right? I mean, that's the thing. I think their defense and offense, they retooled. Belichick, the coach, they were 7-9 last year. He can still coach guys, but the general manager part of him is what's holding this team back. So I don't feel great either way, because I think if Cam plays well, they could attain over 9.5 wins. So this is a bet on Cam, right, Matt? If you think Cam's going to be good or not, he's easily the starting, which I thought from the beginning he would start. I feel like whenever you say I have a strong lean, I feel like we're going under here.
Au contraire, Jeffrey. I am a strong contender for the over here for a few reasons.
I love it.
So last year, the Patriots had a pretty tough schedule last year. They played the NFC West and the AFC West. This year, they play the AFC and NFC South, which among them has, I'd say, one good team, one truly good team. You could argue the Titans or Colts, but, you know, spoiler alert for those divisions. This year, their schedule is much more favorable. They do have a bunch of games. They actually lead the league in playing a team after an opponent's bye week. But like, if there's any coach that can navigate that, it's Bill Belichick. Last year, they played really good pass defenses. This year, you know, just think of the NFC West, for instance. This year, they're playing much easier pass defenses. Cam Newton last year, whether he starts or not, the Cam Newton of this year or the Mac Jones of this year should be better than Cam last year. Remember, he came in kind of late in the offseason. He had a COVID problem where he said like he wasn't really thinking straight for the end of the season. And here's the other thing. They had 8 opt-outs last season for players that mostly mattered. Their offense and defense are wildly different just by virtue of getting those guys back. They add Dante Hightower, who's arguably the most critical part of that defense. Patrick Chung, who's like one of those guys that just like they maximize every single year. Marcus Cannon's coming back. And they added probably their 4 top pass catchers on their offense, right? The 2 tight ends, Aguilar and someone I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but they adjusted their offensive firepower completely. This is not a sexy, fun pick. No one likes to sweat out New England games, but their favorable schedule, Jeff, like they start out, I could see them starting 3-0. They play Miami, they play the Jets, and they play the Saints. Like none of those teams are that scary. And then they have that week 4 game against Tom Brady where he comes back to New England, which will be fascinating. I could see this being the Bill Belichick revenge tour. Everyone's counted them out. I'm way in on the over this year.
I'm with you on that. I'll ride with the over. Look, I'll bet on good coaches, and I will gladly. So 250 to win 275 here plus 110. I'll gladly do that. I'm trying to find Cam Newton props. It's hard to find some specific player props because I think Cam Newton's total touchdowns could be pretty interesting to look at, but it's just hard to find sometimes individual player props. So we'll pass on that, but I feel like there's a way to come back to that at some point if we can find some more concrete stuff, especially if we get closer to the season. I feel like Cam Newton, if we expect the Patriots to do well, we should have some money on Cam Newton.
That's interesting. I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, I could see Mac Jones getting the call sooner than later if Cam starts kind of poorly. But I don't know. For some reason, like I'm able to justify all these points and also say that I'm not super hot on their starting quarterback. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm okay to just sort of lay some on the Pats over and stay away from the players.
I've said before, the thing about Mac Jones playing this year is installing a Mac Jones package in training camp is going to be tough because there's not a lot of time, right? So right. You're going to have the Cam Newton specific plays. And so to change that in the middle of the season will mean their season's toast. Like we'll lose this bet essentially. Like if Mac Jones, in my opinion, Mac Jones has to play. All right, moving along to our fearless leader, Gabe Goodwin's favorite team, the New York Football Jets.
Yeah, the Jets are at 6 wins. You get even money for going over, minus 120 for the under, plus 2,500 to win the division, plus 550 to make the playoffs, minus 800 to miss them. What do you think?
I think for the sake of Gabe, we have to take the under here, right? I mean, that feels like what he's going to want us to do, at minus 120 here. I don't know. I don't, you know, Matt, I don't have a great feel on the Jets, right? I mean, it comes down to Wilson. I wasn't very high on Wilson coming out, so maybe this is a very anti-Wilson wager. Take the under, right, and just kind of see what happens. Reports out of camp are, he's doing okay, right? Not great, just okay. I feel probably more comfortable taking the under here. They just don't really have talent. They're building their talent, but it's not really there right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. God, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I'm leaning over on the Jets for a few reasons. Number one, I don't know if anyone really understands how bad Adam Gase is. Like that team had absolutely no fight last year. They quit in so many games. I've never seen a team like really just lay down the way they did with Adam Gase at the front. Their quarterback play was terrible. Their offensive line play was terrible. But you look at how this team approach their offseason, it reminds me of Miami 2 years ago when everyone just thought they were going to be a complete mess. And then all of a sudden it was like, they did some interesting things. Like, for instance, offensive line, right? They draft Vera Tucker in the first round, move back up to get him. They sign Morgan Moses to back up or start over George Fant, maybe. All of a sudden their offensive line is like much better. Correct. Their wide receiving core, they went out and spent on Corey Davis, maybe too much money, but you look at that receiving core and it's all of a sudden it's Crowder, it's Corey Davis, it's Keelan Cole. Like this Michael Carter guy that they picked up in the draft later is getting a ton of buzz. They add Carl Lawson, who's like, that's not a move you make if you're like looking 3 years down the road here. That's like an impact guy. Same with Sheldon Rankins. Like they were a busy team in the offseason, and now they add this coach who, again, Robert Saleh doesn't have to be Vince Lombardi. He just has to be not Adam Gase for this team to kind of matter. And look, I'm not sold on Zach Wilson at all, but he should be. I think he'll put up some yards in this offense with Mike LaFleur. They should have like a pretty dynamic approach on the offensive side. I'm reminded of Jameis Winston coming into the league back in 2015. Tampa, they're going to be kind of similar, right? They're going to take some risks. They're going to like make some mistakes, but they have all the physical tools. That year, Winston was okay, and the Bucs went 6-10 in a pretty difficult division. Like, I can see the Jets here sneaking to 6-ish wins, maybe over, especially if one of these teams falls apart. I think that people are just really underestimating how tragic Adam Gase was as a head coach.
I'm with you there. He was a bad head coach, but let's think about their schedule, right? Dolphins twice, Patriots twice,
Bills twice,
and Bills twice.
Tampa Bay.
How many wins are they getting there?
I mean, maybe zero.
Maybe. Okay, so let's give them one win there, okay? Let's see the other wins are at. So at Carolina, okay, that's possible.
Yep.
At Denver, all right. I mean, I can see that. So we got three wins now, right? Tennessee, not being Tennessee. What about the Falcons?
I mean,
maybe four. Bengals, five.
I mean, that's Texans, week 4, week 8. And Texans 12,
six.
Yeah.
Eagles, 7, I guess. I mean, Jacksonville, 8. So you're looking at maybe, that's maybe 8 wins, giving them one win in division, and assuming they win all these games, right? I mean, the Carolina Panthers are the favorite in week 1, right? There's no guarantee that the Jets are going to win any of those games they're supposed to win. I would just stay away from the Jets. I don't think I would put money on them to do much of anything this year except not make the playoffs. But I know you don't like wagering a lot of money on favorites. I mean, do you really want to put the Jets over in here?
No, I don't need to, but I would definitely lean there if I had to make a choice. I really do think that they're going to surprise people. Like, I think they're going to be one of those teams, like maybe like the Giants last year, where they're like pretty bad, but they win some games, they compete, and everyone's like, huh, the Jets. Like, and then next year, everyone's like, you know, doing what we're doing with the Giants this year.
So there's some firm props that our intern Hank and Nick, producer Nick, included in here. So Zach Wilson leads the leagues in interceptions, plus 900.
I like that one.
That feels good, right?
I like that one a lot. One of the reasons I really like that is they don't really have a backup quarterback, right? Like, Zach Wilson's going to play. He is going to get out. Like, they just signed Josh Johnson. Their other backups, Jeff, Mike White and James Morgan. I've never heard of those dudes. So Zach Wilson's going to play. He's going to go out there and make some mistakes. I think that's a really good bet. And plus 900? Like, come on.
You want to put $100 on that?
Yeah, to win a grand? Let's fly.
Yeah. Okay, plus 900. So perfect there. So we have a little bit of money left for this division. Can I interest you in a prop that is on our board here for the who do you think wins the division, by the way? You going with the Bills? I'm not betting on it, but I'm going with the Bills.
I mean, I would be open to betting New England to win it, plus 350. That's a great number. You know, even if you just look at the odds, like, they're at 9.5. The Bills are at 11. Like, there's some variance within there. I could see them sneaking out a divisional win, couldn't you?
So you want to put New England there? So here's my other idea here. So we have, if I'm doing my math correct, we have $300 left, right? We've spent $700 so far. There's a prop that was included in here that I think is pretty much a guarantee. We can win money on the first play of the season. Mac Jones to take New England Patriots first snap. No is minus 350, Matt. I know it's laying a lot, and we're not going to win terribly much, but Mac Jones is not taking the first snap of the season. It's just not happening. It's not happening. And if we want to start off with a win, we take our $300, we win $85 early on, and we just continue on our day.
Oh, I hate that. I'll
tell you what, man. So
that's a close contact away on Sunday from us being fucked immediately. So, I hate that.
So, okay. Listen to me for a second. Okay. So we both started kind of working in this industry on the gambling side of the same company, right? And that company preached value, okay? Value. And the value was always, you know, taking no more than maybe minus 125 at any wager.
and sent, you know, plus money when possible. And I'm all for that, right? Generally speaking. But Matt, sometimes, man, I've been doing this more often in some other sports where I have some ins. It's okay to lay some juice, buddy, if you think you're going to win the wager. And like, what? Okay, how does this not? Okay, how does Mac Jones not start? How does Cam Newton not start week one? Injury, right?
Or the global pandemic with the most contagious strain on a guy that, are we betting Cam Newton's vaccinated, Jeff? Like, that's really what this bet is for me.
That's a good point. I didn't think about this. This guy writes his Instagram captions
in fucking hieroglyphics. I'm not positive that I want to lay a bunch of money on him definitely not getting COVID before week one. Just saying.
Oh, dang. That's a good. Oh, man. That's why
there's
here,
more
buddy.
Variance in this year's start right. of the season and all these player props. Like, for the most part, like, take right. the under. Like, bet
you're
the
right.
no.
We can't, you're right. We can't do that because of that.
I think we take Mac Jones plus. Like, why not? Like, we're basically betting on a Cam Newton meltdown of some kind. Like, that's possible.
I think that's less likely than I would just stay away from that. So we have $300 left. Are you good? Are you good here? Or are we going to go back to the Bills over 11? I want to put some money on the Bills a little bit over 11.
Why don't we do the Pats and Bills something there? So what do we have here? So we have Gaskin over and Wilson touchdown later, right?
We have Dolphins under 10.5, Gaskin over 5.5 touchdowns, Patriots over 9, Zach Wilson leads in interceptions at plus 900. We have $300 left.
I mean, what about Pats to win the division for that great number? If we're taking them over 9.
I'm in with that. But I also like Bills over too. So like I can't take both of those. I guess I can, right? Because they can kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah, and the division thing for New England is a little bit of a flyer. We're getting a plus 400 on that almost.
So Pats win the division, plus 400. You want to use 100 on that and use 200 on Bills over? Or you want to use 50 and 250?
I'm fine with the first way. I'm very comfortable betting on Bill Belichick. Like there's no number you can scare me off of.
Okay, so 100 to win 400.
Yeah, okay. Or 350 or something. Yep.
It's plus 400 or plus 350?
Plus 350.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so plus 350. So those plus 400. And then we'll use the rest of the money, if I'm doing my math correctly, $200 on the Bill. I think the Bills are over. I'm pretty high on some of these teams at the top for their over numbers.
Let's do it.
So we'll go over here, minus 110, and we'll use the rest of the money plus the 200 here, and we'll be pretty happy with our wagers. I like where we've been with show one. I know it's a little long, guys. I get it, but I said some nice things about teams I normally don't say nice things about. So
yeah,
you should be pretty happy about that.
This is in depth, man. Nice things about them. We just gave like a real Jets season preview, like from a gambling point of view. Like, who else is doing that on August 11th? Like, you're welcome.
No one is doing that. Gabe's gonna be very upset with you though, because you picked the Jets. You think the Jets can win a lot of games. I think he's gonna feel that like you slighted him, like that you did it on purpose.
7-10 would be a great Jets season, and I think is very, very plausible. But we also did not bet on it, and we bet Zach Wilson to lead the league in interceptions. So I think Gabe will sign off on that.
I think we'll sign off. Okay, so the last wager, it's taking some time to put this in here, but I have Bills over their win total at $200 over 11. I'm in with that to win one. I think it's $181. Let's do that. Let's lock this in. All right, man. I think we got all our bets. Any last wagers you have fumbling in your brain for the NFC East or the AFC East?
No, man. Let's get back at it on our next one of these. This was super fun. Lots of good bets to make. We'll share all these from your social, right?
Yes. And we also remember we used up some of that $2,000 left over for the Dak Prescott comeback player of the year. Now that could obviously, we could add some more to that at the end, but we got a lot of money saved up here to have some fun with as we continue on.
Awesome, buddy. Well, thanks for having me. We'll do this again soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for joining us as usual. Joshua is smarter than you. Please rate, review, subscribe. Again, the football season. We are so excited to be with you guys all season. Back to 2 episodes next week. Have a great weekend. Hope you guys enjoy. Talk to you guys later.